الله السميع العليم الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله وهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، ولا فهم لنا إلا ما فهمتنا إنك أنت الجواد الكريم. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى، ولك الحمد إذا رضيت، ولك الحمد أبدا أبدا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد في الأولين، وصلي على سيدنا محمد في الآخرين، وصلي على سيدنا محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters, today inshallah we'll talk about, reflect on some of the dua that Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to do a dua saying, اللهم انفعنا، اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع، ومن قلب لا يخشع. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, O Allah, may you guide us to the knowledge that will benefit us from this life. And the second important thing is, and we benefit from implementing this knowledge. And he used to say, O Allah, I seek refuge from a knowledge that will not benefit me and the heart that will not submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a good dua to learn, it's a good dua to do, but it's more important to reflect on the dua and the meaning of it. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is teaching us to, number one, seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seek the right knowledge that will help us in our mission in this life. So step number one, the key point number one is seek the right knowledge that will help you succeed in this life, and most importantly, the hereafter. The second point, which is after seeking the knowledge, which alhamdulillah many Muslims are doing, the second thing that we really need to focus on, and it's a huge area for development for all Muslims, is to try to implement this knowledge. That's what the Prophet ﷺ was asking refuge from, a knowledge that will not benefit Muslims, a knowledge that will not help the heart to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I encourage every one of you, inshallah, from today, moving forward, every time you attend a lecture, you attend a workshop, you attend a khutbah, you have to ask two things. What did I learn today? What is the key takeaways, key learning points from this khutbah or this lecture? But the second thing is, which is more important, this is a question that is missing. You have to ask, so what? So really, I would like to leave you today, inshallah, before I leave, one question that you always have to ask yourself is, so what? Now, after listening to those influential and powerful hadith, or powerful khutbah, or powerful verses from the Quran, so what? After leaving this hole, going out to the real life, going back to my work, to my family, home, working with my peers at college or at school, at work, I mean, what? What did this imam try to tell me today? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant by this verse and by this hadith? Okay, so that's the key introduction to this khutbah today, inshallah, is number one, seeking the right knowledge that will really help us achieve our ultimate target, which will be in heaven, inshallah, seeing the Prophet ﷺ and enjoying the watching the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But most importantly, don't forget the question, so what? And if after any khutbah or after any lecture you didn't get the so what, go back to the imam or the lecturer and ask, help me understand, how can I implement this in life? Otherwise, the investment that you have done for an hour or half an hour will be wasted. So why are we doing this? Why the question about what knowledge, right knowledge to seek, and the question about so what? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. This message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a joke. The word hazl in the Arabic language means is a joke. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sent a message, that is not a joke. That is not for enjoying our time here in life. It's a serious message, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ, a decisive statement, decisive message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it should not be taken lightly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا. Don't take the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lightly, just for enjoyment. You just listen to the khatib, he will finish eventually, inshallah, in 30 minutes, and we'll get out of here. Don't take the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lightly. It is a decisive message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us for nothing. He created us for a specific mission, time frame, will end, and there will be judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained on the judgment day, there will be people who will say, لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ رَسُولِ سَبِيلًا. I wished I had followed the Prophet way. لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. I hope I didn't take this person as a peer or as a colleague, because he led me astray. I hope I was not associated with this group, the people who were not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And someone else will say, لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. This believer will say, I wish I would just have been dust. I didn't even exist. Because when he saw the torture of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his punishment on the judgment day. So what we talk about, inshallah, today is very important, because it is happening, it is coming. I mean, judgment day is happening, and our time is happening, and there is no guarantee one life will end. And it was proven through the millions of years that human beings have been lived on earth that human beings can die anytime. Nobody can give you an assurance about when you're going to die. No doctor has been able to do it so far. No insurance company can give you a policy that will protect you from death. So all what we can do is, according to the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is be prepared. You can't avoid death, but you can be prepared for death. That's so what? So the key takeaway today is, always ask yourself, what kind of knowledge I need? And this will differ from one time to another, depending on your life cycle, or what stage in your life cycle you are, whether you are a parent or not a parent, whether you are single or married. Every phase of your life will mandate that you seek special type of knowledge that will help you serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are a rich person, you have to go and seek maybe knowledge about zakah and hajj. If you are a poor person, why are you going to zakah and hajj now? You don't have the capacity anyway, so you have to focus on different things. So just a quick example. So it is coming, death is coming, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be judging us, and there are many people who will regret. And the key point really is, inshallah, all of us, including myself, inshallah, we will not regret on that day, because inshallah, we'll take all the proactive measures. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in the Quran very clearly, there is no doubts about it, I mean, there is no confusion about our mission in life. It's very clear in the Quran. From two or three verses, you can have a very clear mission statement, and you exactly know what you need to do in life. The first one from Surah Al-Baqarah that I will share with you, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 213, you read Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O believers, ادخلوا في السلم كافة. ادخلوا في السلم كافة means, go, enjoy, and join this Islam wholeheartedly, with all your hearts, with all your minds, and join the whole Islam. So the wholeness here has two factors, two folds. Number one is you, as a whole, go into Islam, not with your body, like being in a Friday prayers with your body, but your mind is still back at work or at university. You be in Islam with all your body and heart, and at the same time, join all Islam. Implement all Islam, not part of it. If you don't like part of Islam, you cannot avoid it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. He's all known. He has created Islam, and he knows that it fits our lives. So you can't be selective and say, you know, hijab really doesn't work in the West, so maybe inshallah we'll put it on the side for now, or zakah is too much, 2.5% out of my savings is too much. You can't be selective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, oh believers, and this is for believers, when you believe, the next step is, the so what is, go into Islam wholeheartedly with your bodies, your minds, and implement all of the Islam. You can't be selective. And this is the definition of submission, Islam. That's, by the way, Islam, many people in the West do not understand this, non-Muslims in the West, maybe they think Islam is the name of a city in back in the Middle East or something. Islam is about submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's by following the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the definition of Islam. Taslim, udkhulu fi silmi. Silm means complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the message statement. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have only created human beings and jinni to worship me and submit to my rules. In another verse, Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ Say, O Allah, all my prayers, all my sacrifices, all my rituals, all my life, and all my preparation for death is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So can playing football is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes. Can studying and being having high grades at school is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes, you can. Marrying another spouse can be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes. Bringing up kids can be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes. Buying a house or building a mosque can be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes. Everything in life, if you have the right knowledge, the right intention, and you follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can be part of your worship and can be on your worksheet on the judgment day, inshallah. So that's the mission statement. Once we understand the mission statement that we are here as servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a limited time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified to us in the Quran our mission, there's no confusion about it, then we try to seek what would be the right knowledge for me then to learn, to go through this path. The scholar said you can focus on five things. And inshallah, I'll try quickly today to go through them very quickly. First point is, to be able to satisfy and implement your mission, is knowing who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's key point. And I encourage every one of you to have enough courage to go into this topic and ask and build your knowledge about who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have taken for granted who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala question for like 30 years. And when I sit with myself now and try to reflect this question, I have minimum knowledge about who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I challenge the youth, whether it's here in the UK or back in the US, they also have minimum knowledge about who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the media is now trying to create an image of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is completely against what Islam is trying to convince us or to convey to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must know the basics of who is Allah, who are we worshipping. That's basic question. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Like, we must know that He is the first without beginning. He is the last without ending. He is all known. He has all the wisdom. He is the Almighty. He is owning the final decision on our sustenance. He decides on our sustenance. Huwa Razzaq. The word Razzaq means He provides us with our sustenance, and He also decides on our sustenance. So knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build the trust and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will help you understand what is Islam. Because some people might challenge, is Islam really valid now in the new millennium and with the internet age? Can really the Islamic rules apply now? The people are challenging this and sometimes get confused because they don't know who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the creator. He has created the whole universe. He has created us and He knows what goes inside us. Surah Qaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We know human beings inside out. That's the Surah Qaf. We know human beings inside out, and we know what's inside the soul, the self-talk. We know exactly the soul whisper or the self-talk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us inside out, and He's closer to us than our veins. And in Surah Al-Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ لَطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Doesn't I know what I have created, and I'm the all-knowing and the all-expert? So knowing, building your knowledge about who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first key knowledge you have, inshallah, to build your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot love somebody who you don't know. That's a fact. So if you want to reach a level where you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first step really is knowing His names and attributes and features, and know who is your creator. Okay? You must know who is your creator. When you join a new company or a new university, you read their prospectus, you know the history of the company, you know who is the owner of the company, you know who has the decision making in the company, to make sure that you understand how to work in this company or how to be successful in this university. So the same thing, before loving or worshipping or submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before submitting, you can't submit to somebody who you don't know. So knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the key point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the disbelievers, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. The disbelievers always underestimated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they didn't know Him. So hence they say, you know, this whole Islamic rules or rules coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't make sense because they don't know the Creator. Then hence there is no trust, no respect, then no submission. So it's all a chain reaction. The second thing is, after knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing the story of the beginning. We need to understand how it all started, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this whole universe, how He created us. And part of the story of the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining the short story that happened between Adam and Eve and the shaitan, when he deceived them and he tempted them to eat from the tree with one vision. And see, this is always the vision that the shaitan will have. He will always create an illusion that we can be independent at some point from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the root cause of all sins. That's the root cause of all sins. Sometimes we as Muslims try to fix the symptoms, but when we focus, when we read the Quran is teaching us, that's why it's a very valuable knowledge. The Quran teaches us what is the root cause of all sins. It's an illusion that the shaitan will create to us that we can be independent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the shaitan simply said, and you can read this in Surah Al-Baqarah or Surah Al-A'raf and other positions in the Quran, when the shaitan tells Adam and Eve, if you eat from this tree, what did he promise? شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَغْ. This tree will give you eternity. You will never die. Hence, you don't be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your life will not be ending. وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَغْ, a possessions that will never go away, that will never fade. Hence, you don't have to worry about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His sustenance and rain and all of those things. You have your own possessions, and then you will not die. Hence, there is no need to worry from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't fear Him. So create a new illusion, illusion life that doesn't exist, which is independent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, once you are convinced with this, you can go through the path behind the shaitan. That's why in the verse I started the khutbah today, from Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. Go into Islam with all your hearts, with your bodies, in wholeness, aspect of the Islam. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتَ الشَّيْطَانَ. Don't follow the small steps of the shaitan, the subtle steps that he will take you astray from path of Islam. So that's the second thing. And then the third point will be the story of the end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, the Prophet in his sunnah, is explaining the story of the end, how life will all end, what will happen on the judgment day, what will happen in the grave, and we have full description of the Jannah, our rewards, and we have full full description of hellfire. And no other nation before us had this comprehensive full description of heaven, which is for to motivate this nation, and anybody will follow Islam. So when you hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet saying in the hadith, when you go into heaven, somebody will call to all believers going into heaven, give them four good tidings. The first one is, you will never die. You will live forever. So there is no death. That will be killed, will be slaughtered before believers go into heaven. So don't worry about that, which is number one worry in this life. Number two, you will always be healthy. You will never get sick, the second worry in this life. The third one, you will always be young. You will never get old at all in heaven. Again, the third worry that we have in this life. وَأَنَّ لَكُمْ فِيهَا أَن تَنَعَمُوا فَلَا تَبْأَسُوا أَبَدًا. You will be in long-term, eternal enjoyment. You will never have any hardship. So you will never have to worry about sustenance, about salaries, about retirement, about funds, about savings. Everything you can just wish will happen immediately. This is the place where inshallah we'll enjoy seeing the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enjoy seeing the prophets and his companions. We'll do everything we want. All Muslims and believers will be like one man heart, where there's no disputes, there is no anger, there is no fighting. We all share the same enjoyments. You'll have everything beyond imagination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created heavens with his own hands for us. So imagine the enjoyments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide to us in heaven. This is the place where you will hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself reciting Surah Al-Rahman to believers. You will hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting Surah Taha to believers. This is enjoyments behind imagination. It is worth it because this is forever. This is eternity. And this life, as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it time framed to make sure that the shaitan one comes to us and say, can I guide you to the eternity and eternal enjoyment in this life? You know that this is not true. Part of the story of the end is a very powerful, influential verse in Surah Ibrahim. I encourage you to go and visit this surah if you can over the weekend. And this is called the lecture of the shaitan. The lecture or the khutbah of Satan. And this khutbah is a real khutbah that the shaitan himself will deliver on the judgment day. After everything is done and the people of hellfire knew that they are going to hellfire and people of heaven going there, shaitan will stand up and say, you remember the first episode? Part one of the episode is when he told Adam and Eve, I will guide you to the tree that if you eat from it, you will be eternal and you will have eternal possessions and enjoyment. The final episode is in Surah Ibrahim when he says, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ. This is in Surah Ibrahim. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ. When everything is done, judgment is over, Satan will stand up and deliver the following khutbah. قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخَذْتُكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the right promise, the truth, and I have promised you and that now I'm letting you down. So summarizing the whole life in one statement. Unbelievable. The whole life, millions of years of deceiving human beings was summarized in one life. He's taking with him millions and millions of people following him to hell. And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa'adakum wa'ada al-haqq. Just 7 or 8 words. The whole life was summarized in 7 words of Allah. Inna Allaha wa'adakum wa'ada al-haqq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised you the right promise, the true promise. And I have promised you and now I'm letting you down. Wa'adakum wa'ada al-haqq. Wa'adakum fa'akhlaftukum. Akhlaftukum means, I will not fulfill my promise. Because he promised them eternity, he promised them that he will be independent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. The other part of the khutbah is saying, وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ means I didn't have any influence on you. I had no authority. إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ except I invited you. دَعَوْتُكُمْ means invited you. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. You accepted the invitation. I invited you to wrong things, disbelieving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or not following Islam, or not fully submitting to Islam, and you accepted my invitation. مَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ is a very important rule. Nobody had authority or influence on you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accept your own decision making. وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي. Don't blame me. It's too late. وَلُومُوا أَنفُسْكُمْ. Blame yourself. Talking obviously to the people going to hellfire. وَلُومُوا أَنفُسْكُمْ. مَا أَنْتُمْ وَأَنَا بِمُصْرِخِكُمْ. I will not be able to save you. وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُصْرِخِي. And you cannot save me back. So we are joining each other in hell. So that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the whole thing together. Knowing who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give you the story of the beginning, how it all started, and the deceiving of the shaitan, then gives you the story of the end, knowing what is the grave, hellfire, and heaven, and also giving you the final episode, of the shaitan giving this delivery of this khutbah to all people going to hellfire. Then the fourth thing that we need to be aware of is our mission statement. Why have we been created in this life? What can we do in this life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously have created us in a different way. We have poor people in developing countries. We have poor people in the West, and we also have very rich people in our developing countries back in the Middle East and Asia, and we also have poor, rich people here in the West. So we are different in terms of health, in terms of money, in terms of intellectuals, in terms of physical abilities. Allah subhanahu has created us different way. So although we all share the same mission statement, the expectations are different from each one. Each one of us has his own things to do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, depending on your ability. And this is only between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody knows about this. You know your own capacity and capability. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge you one-to-one on judgment day. Okay, so we all have the mission statement to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to live our lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's only you who can decide, this is my capacity, this is what I can do. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying in the hadith, رُبَّ dirham, maybe $1, سَبَقَ أَلْفُ dirham, will have higher rewards than 1,000 pounds. Why? Because maybe this 1 pound was beyond the capacity of one poor person. He really gave away 1 pound, but this was too much for him. And somebody else might have given 1,000 pounds, but it was nothing. That was maybe a 1 week expenses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a relation that you have to build with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your own capacity, analyze your own capacity and what can you do for Islam, and feel accountable, feel responsible. Don't wait for people to judge you, because any judgment that we make is most probably wrong, because we judge on appearance. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our hearts and knows what we are doing, knows your own real capacity. So build this relationship, one-to-one relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't go through any scholars or any senior person or any community leader. Go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly and build this relationship, and feel accountable and feel responsible. And we have a great challenge now for this community, and I heard the good news this week that inshallah there is a mosque project starting, and this is really the test. Now everybody will be tested. And immediately when we hear this, we say, oh well, actually I don't have enough money and I have nothing to do. That's completely wrong. Mosque is not about money. Wallahi, I have seen in many countries impressive mosques. Wallahi, huge buildings with everything you can dream of, entertainment centers and everything, and we don't have people praying Fajr there. And when they go there, they fight. So it's not about wallahi the building. It's about worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's about submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So deliver 1 pound, deliver 1,000 pounds, it doesn't really matter. Be part of this project. Whether you will be part from the financial aspect, whether you'll be inshallah delivering da'wah and message of Islam to people, whether you'll be cleaning the mosque, cleaning the carpet, do, according to your capacity, do your best to this project. And I've seen that there is a fundraising event after this. Be part of this. Not necessarily with your money. If you don't have money, think creatively about how you can be part of the project. Okay, so be accountable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yaseen that He has sent three messengers to one village, because they were not believing in the first messenger, then the second and the third. What happened is He said, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ, from the furthest point of the city, came a person running. Yasa means walking very fast. He was not a messenger, he was not a prophet, he was not asked by anyone to help. There were three prophets already in place for this village. Yet he felt very accountable. He ran all the way from the furthest point, Aqsa al-Madinah, I mean the furthest point in this city, because he felt accountable, and I want to contribute to Islam. What is his knowledge versus three prophets? But he still felt accountable. I will support them. And he gave them support, and he tried to convey the message with them until he was killed. Immediately he said, after being and meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately after that he said, I hope my people still living would know the honors I have received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that they can follow my way. So again, feeling accountable is a very important piece of our mission. Accountable, responsible, according to your capacity. Nobody is being asked beyond his or her own capacity. This is the same for the sisters of the night as well. Okay, so we are both accountable. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains to us, and again in our mission in this life, that encompasses everything. I'm not talking about prayers. By all means, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life was walking in the street, saw a young boy called Umayr. This is a famous story. The young Umayr was a very young boy in Medina. He had a bird. The bird was called al-Nughayr, and the bird died. So obviously, as a young boy, less than 10 years old, he was depressed because his pet, his bird, died. So he kept crying in the street. The Prophet ﷺ, a leader, a prophet, a messenger, a father, a military leader. He fought all those fights. He found few minutes to sit down on the pavement with this Umayr, the young boy, and he started singing a song for him. Until he cheered him up, and then he left and went to do other business. So he found time for this young boy just to cheer him up, because this is part of our religion. Religion is not about just rituals and reading books and moving on. It's about this whole social aspect. The Prophet ﷺ, the first episode in his life, when he ran down from the cave, when Jibreel ﷺ talked to him, what was the first episode? He went back home. He didn't go anywhere. He went back home to his wife. And his wife gave him the comfort and the warm home, and she gave him advice, and she took him to her relative, Warqa bin Awfal, gave him guidance and coaching and mentorship. And what was the last episode? Where did the Prophet ﷺ die? Everybody would have assumed he would die in a battlefield. He didn't die in a battlefield. He didn't die delivering a khutbah. He died, his head was on the chest of his wife, beloved wife, in his bed at home. That's life. Our Prophet ﷺ was a real example of real life. Nobody is asking about being a hero or supernatural things. It's all about life, about having a minute to put your hand on an orphan, having a minute to cheer up a boy, having a minute having hours for your families, having make sure that you involve your wife in everything, involve your families, involve your kids. So Prophet ﷺ showed us everything. He lost his wives, he lost his wife Khadija, he lost some of, or actually all his kids except Fatima, who died after him. He showed us an example how to deal with sorrow, how to deal with happiness, how to deal with money, how to deal with poverty, how to deal with young boys, with elder boys, with believers, disbelievers, aggressive people, kind people. He showed us the whole thing, because that's the whole life, it's real. Prophet ﷺ did not give us an ideal example that can be matched. Okay, so when you read the story of Prophet ﷺ, it's not about a supernatural hero, it's about a real person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected, very carefully selected to properly represent Islam and be a role model for all of us. Final thing I will finish with, inshallah. The fifth point is really understanding the basic rules of Islam, the rituals of Islam and basic laws and regulations, which is al-zakah, al-hijab, al-salah, all the key rules of Islam that will manage or regulate our day-to-day activities. So the key learning here, don't start with the basic Islamic laws and try to make sense out of it. Start from the beginning. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who is the messenger of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is the key message from Islam? What is the story of the end and story of the beginning? Then everything will fall into place. Everything will make sense. Prayers now will make sense. Waking up in the winter, in the very cold winter, and praying Fajr will make sense. Wearing hijab when there is a lot of peer pressure and a lot of women looking at each other and how they wear and so on, and there's a lot of competition, will make a lot of sense. Doing zakah and charity from your money when the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that no money will decrease from zakah will make sense. The problem is we're trying to focus on the last line of the whole story and trying to make sense out of it without really learning who has created us and why, what is expected from us. Inshallah, we'll take a very short break asking for forgiveness, and then we'll summarize and pray, inshallah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah. In just a couple of minutes, a quick summary. And again, the reason I'm summarizing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Asr, wal-Asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr, all people are losers except those who, illa al-ladina amanu, believe, wa amal salihat, doing good, wa tawasaw bil-haq, they convey the message of Islam, wa tawasaw bil-sabr, and be patient. So you are now accountable and responsible, based on my khutbah, to take this short message and deliver it to yourself again, to your family, to your brothers, sisters, kids, your neighbors, and anybody you can really think that this message will be valuable. So that's the so what from this khutbah, is really understanding, digesting, reflecting on what has been said. If you have questions, raise the questions, concerns, comments, build your knowledge, and inshallah convey, be positive about, have a positive attitude about the knowledge you have learned. So number one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us that this life is a mission, is a time frame mission, and it's not a joke. لَا تَتَخْزُوا أَيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُدْوَى. Don't take those messages lightly. إِنَّهَا لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ وَهُوَ بِهَزِ. It's a different decisive message, and it's not a joke. Second thing is, we have to seek the right knowledge that will help us achieve this mission. And the second thing, as the Prophet ﷺ used to pray, we have to benefit from this knowledge, and always seek refuge from knowledge that will not benefit you in this life. Then the key items for knowledge is knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sure that you and your kids know who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the second thing is knowing the story of the beginning, how it all started. And then the story of the end, make sure that you know what are the rewards. Nobody works for nothing. Nobody joins a degree program in a university without knowing what are the real rewards. Nobody joins a company and signs a contract without knowing what is the salary, what are the benefits. So make sure that you understand the benefits, the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in heaven. Then the fourth point is around understanding our mission and how, according to our own capacity, our individual and group capacity, benefit Islam and work for Islam. And the fifth point is increase your knowledge about the basic rules of Islam, about prayers, about zakah, and about hajj, and about all the key elements of Islam, and make sure that you share this and learn this at appropriate times. So we have a mission in front of us. We have challenges in life. We have families, we have kids, we have studies, we have salaries to worry about, we have rent, we have mortgages. You have to sit down, think about how we're going to organize all of this in the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. That's really the bottom line of this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Tawbah, He says, He lists eight halal things. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتْكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٍ اقْتَرَبْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنَ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. He says, if your parents, your brothers and sisters, your tribes, your wives, your houses, your trades, your money are dear to your heart than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and struggling for His cause, then wait in anxiety until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes with His punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listing eight halal things. Actually, we are rewarded to take care of our wives. And this is my key advice before I leave. Take care of your wives. For the men, you will be asked about this. You will be asked about your wives and you will be asked about your children. It's a key responsibility. As qawwamun means leader of the families, you will be asked. So I will leave this with you, inshallah, before I leave. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listing those eight halal things that we'll be rewarded on, but saying you have to balance it. Those things should be used to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not be the core of your life. So build your life around loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enjoy your family, enjoy your work, enjoy everything. Nobody is saying this is haram, but build it around pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as opposed to building your life around your career, or building your life around your family, or building your life around your possessions, or your houses, or your mortgages and rents and so on. Okay? Again, I will finish by saying a great opportunity for this great community that I enjoyed living in for 2 years. More than a year ago, I really had a great time, great experience with this community that I always like to describe as really key two parts. Part is Al Ansar, the supporters, people who are living here for a long time, well established, and the Muhajireen, the immigrants like myself and the students who come here and leave every 2 years or 4 years. So this dynamic is unique. Wallahi, this community has a unique opportunity. This dynamic is not really available in all communities. People who, the core of this community, the Ansar, are helping inshallah now to build this great mosque, or the great project of the mosque. And those immigrants who bring wealth of diversity and wealth of knowledge from all around the world. I have seen nationalities beyond my imagination in this community. People from all over the place, different intellectuals, different diverse, very diverse group. So let's benefit from this dynamic and make it to the benefit of Islam, as opposed to thinking about differences. Muslims will always be different. The ultimate objective of Islam is not to make us one. We will never be one. We will have different views on things. But we must align on the core things, which is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following His sunnah. So let the Quran and sunnah, inshallah, prevail in this community. And then enjoy the other differences about how to manage your life, about different views about life, because that's part of it. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoyed and benefited from this. The brilliant idea of creating a trench in the Ghazwat al-Ahzab came from somebody from Fars, from a non-Muslim country. Because Sulaiman al-Farisi from Fars said, I have this great idea that is not known in the Arab countries. So that's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he benefited from non-Arabs who brought him great ideas to Islam. And then we read a lot of books, like Bukhari. Who said Bukhari was an Arab person? He's not Arab. So the greatest book we count on for our hadith is done by somebody who is not even, is not an Arab. Obviously, he's very strong in Arabic language, but he's not an Arab. So that's how Islam benefits from everyone. Enjoy diversity, capitalize on it, and make it work for the best of this community. I encourage again every one of you to feel accountable and responsible. And inshallah, next visit, inshallah, we'll enjoy this mosque. Before we pray, inshallah, we'll do dua for our brothers and sisters around the world, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help them and protect them. And inshallah, we'll remove this hardship that all Muslims are going through right now. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us helping them. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا
واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على قوم الكافرين. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على قوم الكافرين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم أجرنا من النار، اللهم أجرنا من النار، اللهم أجرنا من النار، اللهم أدخلنا جنتك يا رب العالمين. اللهم قربنا إلى الجنة يا رب العالمين. اللهم أدخلنا الجنة يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمت منه وما لم نعلم. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الشر كله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على قوم الكافرين. واقم الصلاة.